بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حضرت مناس عبدالقادر رائے پوری صاحب رحمت اللہ علیہ، حضرت مولانا محمد الیاس صاحب رحمت اللہ علیہ، بوت میٹ اپ پرہپس ان سہارنپور. اٹ واز اے ٹائم ویئر دی ڈفرنسز، پولیٹیکل ڈفرنسز، ویئر بینگ ڈسکسڈ. And as it is normal that when political differences are discussed, then tempers flare, people say things what they're not supposed to be saying. And many times people that we're supposed to be showing respect to, they are being disrespected. Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullahi said on that occasion, فیوز کی نہ یہاں پر کمی ہے نہ وہاں پر کمی ہے، معترض یہاں سے بھی محروم اور وہاں سے بھی محروم. So it's a very great statement, it's a golden statement that he made. But the one that speaks out against the elders, بزرگان الدین مشایخ رحمت اللہ علیہ، then he needs to understand that as far as the blessings are concerned, then there is no deficiency of blessings on either side. These elders and these honorable people, they have their differences. Mawlana Thanvi Sahib رحمت اللہ علیہ is a luminary, is a personality, is a revivalist of the times. And Hazrat Madani Sahib Rahmatullahi is nowhere less. He's also very great, excelling in every respect. He is very great. So Hazrat Madani Sahib Rahmatullahi is very great. Hazrat Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullahi is very great. And literally speaking, we are not even worthy of taking their names. They reach such a position that it is not even right for us to, we are not even in that position to take their names. It's an honor that Allah Ta'ala allows us to take their names. So then how can we draw a comparison who is greater and who is not greater? Yes, we may say that I am inclined towards this view, I am inclined towards that view. But to make differences and then to label one and then to be disrespectful, so this is not at all the right thing. So the person that becomes a little bit free in his tongue, in his approach, then he goes to that point where he's going to speak out against one of these elders. And he speaks out against his elders, then he doesn't realize that he's blocking his way. His way is blocked and he won't be able to see further. He can't make any progress afterwards. Once the Shaykh Rahmatullah's father warned him, dekho in baro ki, in baro se darte raho, unki ulti bhi seedhi ho jati hai. These great people, then be careful, be cautious how you conduct yourself. Sometimes something may seem to be wrong, but really it is right. It may seem in your eyes to be wrong. You can't see it. Outwardly it may seem to be not right. Not that it is totally haram. One is totally haram, that's a different thing. But one is something that you can't see the merit in it. When you can't see the merit in it, then don't consider it to be totally wrong. So there's two situations. One is it's outright wrong, it's haram. For example, it's zina, it's wine. You can see it through and through, it's haram. And one is, you don't feel comfortable with that. You don't seem to be agreeable with that. What you don't see to be, you don't seem to be agreeable, and if some elder is doing something, then you keep quiet, you remain silent. Perhaps your reasoning is not as profound as his reasoning. He can see beyond what you can see. Right? Or sometimes he's an exception to the rule. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, as Umar radiallahu anhu's incident is in Bukhari Sharif, they'll be discussing some point. And for some reason, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu used some strong word. Umar radiallahu anhu felt upset, and he became so upset that he left. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu followed him to ask him for a maaf, retract his word and ask him for a maaf. But for that moment sometimes you flare up and you can't just bear that pain. That pain of that word, you can't just bear it. So you don't want to just give a maaf straight away. But then the Shariat also has given you a provision, alright, you can't bear the pain and keep it for 3 days. After that, make a maaf. So Umar radiallahu anhu, he went home, he locked the door. Abu Bakr is pleading anyway, and his relationship with Allah Ta'ala is so great that he can't see this, that his records must be unclear with Allah Ta'ala. Because obviously it's huququl ibad. When it's huququl ibad, then this is something that you're going to be questioned for, you're going to be answerable for. So he can't see himself, if he has to die in that position, and he's got something suspended over his head. Until and unless this is sorted out, that he feels very miserable. See, when a person is called Siddiq, then he's just not called Siddiq like that. He's called Siddiq because of his consciousness, his awareness. And he's reached this position, and there is something that is not straight, not clear. So he wants to clear it up. There and then he wants to clear it up. Not on Eid day or on a Jummah Mubarak day. No. There and then. If he didn't work out with the person himself, then what's the next recourse? Then go up to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because that's the procedure. وَلَوْ أَنَّمْ إِذْظَلَمُوا جَاءُوكَ فَاسْتَغْفَرُ اللَّهِ First, you ask Allah Ta'ala, وَاسْتَغْفَرَ لَهُمُ الرَّسُولُ Then the second recourse is go to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and ask him to make dua on your behalf. So he comes to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and explains to him this what happened. In the meanwhile, Umar radiallahu anhu realized, okay, you know, I did the wrong thing. Abu Bakr and his maqam is something that is proverbial. It's something that is far, far beyond normal person. After the Anbiya, then it's his position. So he's far above all of us. And I was not supposed to be responding like that. And more especially when he came to ask for a maaf. So he comes in and he sees that Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So that's the next recourse. Come to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and get it straightened. So, Umar radiallahu anhu wants to explain the situation that I want to ask for a maaf and, you know, I didn't respond, I didn't act correctly. In the meanwhile, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam warns Umar radiallahu anhu that أَأَنْتُمْ تَرَكْتُمْ لِي صَاحِبِي Abu Kama calls him, won't you spare my companion for myself? And Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is saying to Nabi Sallam, Ya Rasulullah, but it was my fault. And Nabi Sallam is not paying attention. What he's saying, Hal antum tariku li sahibi. Hal antum tariku li sahibi. Won't you leave my companion for me? When I exhorted people towards Islam, then he was the only person that accepted immediately. So he is something genuine, he is something above all everybody. He is an exception to the rule. Even if he stumbled for that moment, then your duty was just to forgive, forget about everything and just forget it. Make him up straight away. So you see this point, unki ulti bhi seedhi ho jati hai. Okay, outwardly it seemed that it was his mistake. But he's of such a high position, such a high maqam, that even if he stumbled somewhere, the catalyst within him, the niyat within him must have been too great. That niyat must have washed out everything. He must have said something, but his niyat and his connection with Allah Ta'ala must have been so great that he said something, but that washed out everything else. So we get these akabir, these elders of ours. Our duty is to respect them. Sometimes they may have some differences within them. We don't fall within their differences. Let them differ within themselves. But our duty is to respect them. And then our duty is the one that we feel inclined to, between us and between Allah Ta'ala, we feel He is the most right person, the most suitable candidate, we go with Him. The rest of it, we don't have to follow everybody. Like, we got one imam in namaz, we follow him. We don't have to make 100 people imam at one at the same time. One imam, carry on. Our namaz is valid, inshallah. So the same in our deen, we got one imam, we follow him. You cannot follow 10 imams at the same time. But by the same token, we won't disrespect the other imam. He's also a great person, mashallah, he's very great, leading a very great community, mashallah. But it's funny, this is something more convenient for us, easy for us, we understand him, let's go on with him, continue with our lives. Okay. This aspect of respect, really, if you only understand this aspect of respect, then I think three-quarters of our battle is over this day. Just to understand what it is to respect and respect our elders. At every level, whether it is at the dini level, whether it is even at dunya level, material level, our parents, we respect them. Someone that is senior in the line, we respect him. What does it cost you? It doesn't cost us anything. Just a little bit of respect, a little bit of consideration, but that little bit of respect and consideration, how high doesn't it take you? You respected him, you showed him some love, some ikram. How high doesn't it exalt you? We just kept quiet at that moment. Now, this requires a little bit of fana'iyat. I'm just explaining now that you see in iman, in our whole Islam, right, the basis of all our actions is in iman, isn't it? The stronger the iman, the stronger your action. The greater your iman, the more greater is your action. Any deed of yours is based on your iman. How strong is the foundation? Foundation is very great, and everything can be supported on that foundation. Right? The iman is very great. So the level of consciousness, awareness, muhabbat, etc. will be so great. If the iman is great, everything will be so great. Muhabbat, consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, the remembrance, the fear of Allah Ta'ala will be so great. So everything supports itself on your iman. Now, by the same token, in suluk, everything supports itself on fana'iyat. And the gist of fana'iyat is that khudrai or khudbini. Khudrai or khudbini. Self-admiration and self-opinion. Self-admiration and self-opinion. The more you get this out of the system, then you'll find that you are progressing in this path. But the more you have these two elements, any of these two elements, self-opinion or self-admiration, then you can't make the progress that you desire to. And how it works out, see, as you progress in life, you will have all type of trials coming before you, all type of challenges coming in. Now, if there isn't this self-admiration and self-opinion, then you can take it. Say, for example, you went home now, and your father scolded you. So you don't think much of yourself. Say, one of these things now, one of these days, alright, I heard it, carry on. You know, continue with my life. But if the person doesn't have this, he doesn't have this fana'iyat, right? And he thinks too much of himself, then can he cope with the situation? He can't cope with the situation. But you know what? Why did he have to tell me this much? He's not my boss. And, you know, why must he say me this type of words? I don't deserve this type of a treatment. I don't deserve. He'll become sleepless. He'll be traumatized. But why had this person to tell me this type of words? I don't deserve this type of a treatment. But on the contrary, if he's got this fana'iyat, say one of those things by. Perhaps man mustn't have been in a good mood, you know. Maybe his wife told him something, so he had to shift the anger somewhere.
And you'll forget about the thing. That anger came in somewhere else, but someone had to be the recipient. Never mind, at least I was a recipient. Never mind, I carried his burden for him. Alhamdulillah, at least he felt happy, isn't it? He felt relief that his burden was shifted onto someone. So never mind, I carried his burden, at least he felt relief about it. I can't do many other things, but I could do this much here. So alhamdulillah, at least I served, I helped my brother out. So how easy it becomes. Someone shouted you, someone ridiculed you, someone robbed you, cheated you. It had to happen, it happened, one of those things, let me carry on. So you're not thinking anything of yourself. You don't have an opinion, you don't have a mind of your own, opinion of your own, not self-opinionated. So to be able to cope with situations becomes much more easier. Any situation and you can cope. But the more you have the self-opinion, and the more you have the self-admiration, then it becomes difficult. Now you take it so serious, then you have to go for counseling, psychologists, then psychiatrists. Why does this person have to tell you, you know, you're mentally traumatized, and you're so, you know, how he's hurt you emotionally, you're hurt. You're not supposed to be telling you this, you have to sue the person. You will just compound the problem more and more, you'll just compound it. The psychiatrist will just help you compounding the problem again. So they tell you that the basis of this entire thing is this fana'iyat. And this fana'iyat revolves around these two elements. Like to get the foundation right, you need the right quantity of cement and the right quantity of stone, right? So you have too much of cement and no stone, doesn't work. And too much of stone and no cement, then also it doesn't work. So you need these two things to be balanced very well. One is no self-opinion, as much as you can, just eliminate that from the system. And the second is self-admiration. Self-admiration and self-opinion. Just take it out. The more you can take it out, the more you can rub it out. You see now, life becomes a pleasure. As though your burden has been pushed onto someone else. I got a burden, or I got one elder of mine, let me just go and speak to him, and I sort myself out. And if you don't have an elder, now every problem you have to take it yourself. Every problem of yours, you have to sort the thing out yourself. You got something, you got an imam. Qasim Nahrawati Sahib Rahmatali. These elders, they also were humorous in their nature, right? Although you're such a great buzurug, you can't think of a buzurug being born now like this. Such a great person, founder of Darul Uloom Deoband. There's two things I feel very comfortable with. One is Dawat ka khana. Dawat food now, kuch tayari karne ki zarurat nahi. I don't have to make any preparation now. Dawat just go and eat, finish class. Or ek to imam ke piche namaz padna. So the whole burden of the namaz is the imam. Now we are saved, isn't it? Now say, imagine we have 100 people here, all want to become the imam. Now that's the whole thing has been reversed now. That I want to take the mic stand, I want to be on the radio, I want to be like this. Right? So there will be too many chiefs. Right? See, when there's too many chiefs, then it becomes a problem. But if everybody wants to become the muqtadi, it becomes an easy thing. Alright, now one person, everybody will say, hey, alright, you just go and perform the namaz. So it becomes an easy thing. But everybody wants to grab the musalla. Doesn't it become a complicated thing? Doesn't it become difficult? The easier thing is, everybody moves away from that position, one person eventually is pushed in. He does the work, right? So the basis of this whole suluk is these two things. Self-admiration and self-opinion. You can just shift it, or this person, he's in charge. I've asked him to do my work. I have the confidence, I have the trust in him. And alhamdulillah, after I've seen him, I close my eyes. I close my mind. I don't think now. In all my work, I don't think. Let him do the thing for me. Obviously, this is referring to your deen. The dunya is a different thing. Now, you can't come and ask now, hey, must I invest here, must I invest there? That's your dunya now. You think for yourself in your dunya. Right? We are talking about deen. Yes, you can ask about, is it permissible, not permissible? Is this the right thing to do or not the right thing to do? If I got, for example, the right thing, I got 5,000 rand, so go and invest in something that is 5 million. So you don't have the money, then don't borrow it and go and do this thing. You're going to cause problems for yourself. Do what you can manage. So the permissible, impermissible, the thing that is appropriate, not appropriate, that will tell you in deen. But what type of business, I must become a barber, or must become a shoemaker, But that you sort yourself out. You know what you are better for. You can't do that. They won't ask you to come and consult with them in that respect. But yes, in your deen, things that can affect your deen, things that can damage your deen, then you will ask them. So anyway, these two Buzrugana deen are discussing, you know. Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah says that Fuyus ki na yaha par kami hai, na waha par kami hai. There is no short of blessings. We go to Buzrugana deen and elders. Why do we go? For blessings, right? We feel inspired. We feel that there is some direction. We feel some hope in life. We go for that to these elders. So he says that there is no shortage, no deficiency of blessings here, no deficiency of blessings there. Both are great. And within them there is a good cordial relationship. Although they have some type of political differences, but within them there is a wonderful relationship going on. Like you see Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi and Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi. But there is such a great respect. Imam Shafi'i rahmatullahi comes here to the grave side of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi, and he leaves his rafayadain. You know how when you're going to ruku and going to sajda and you raise your hands for the second and third time, he left that practice out of the respect for Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi. This is my opinion, but on account of the respect that I have for this person, today I'm leaving this out. So within them they've got that respect. But then you get the sidekicks, you know, say sidekicks, Hashia Nashin. It's come on the side, they cause the problem. Baat ko badha karke karte hai. The sidekicks, they exaggerate. They make a small thing, they make it a big thing. Now, before realizing that becomes a problem, becomes a fight. Otherwise, the elders themselves, that are real elders, then they don't have any problems. Provided they are real elders, then they don't have any problems. Nonetheless, Hazrat Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah says, ki, you know, mera ji chahta hai ki Hazrat Muhammad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah ke baas hum hazir ho jaye. My heart says that we should go there. Lekin hamare paas wo adab nahi. We don't have that adab now. See, he's a revivalist, he's a buzurg, so much of work is done. You know, look at his track record. But he says, I don't have the level of respect. Perhaps we will go there, and we don't know the person's mizaj and temperament, and because of us not understanding the person, we may cause some taklif to him. So the other also agrees, yeah, perhaps I don't have that level of respect. Now look at them, and how they conducting themselves, what they think of the elder. They could have reworded and rephrased the same word, and said, for example, you know, like how an ordinary reader will say, you know, a person with a very, very refined temperament, yeah? He won't take any nonsense. One is to say it like how our normal reader will say nowadays. Because a normal reader nowadays is very free thinking. When he's free thinking, then he doesn't have the element of respect. His words are not flavored with respect. But now here, they think of it from a different perspective altogether. They don't consider it as his refined temperament. How they take it? They take it. No, perhaps we don't have the level of respect to show him. So we can't show him the respect. It's our deficiency. Rather than shifting the whole problem onto him, they assume the problem themselves. This is a very great problem in this day, to shift the problem. In Islam, there is individual responsibility. Christianity, there is the concept and the belief of atonement, that Jesus has taken everybody's burden on himself. You believe in Jesus, he's taken all your burden on himself. So that is a Christian belief. And a continuity of that belief is like this, that when a person is guilty of a crime, right? So he justifies the crime. How he justifies the crime? For example, someone is abused. So he says, no, because I was abused, therefore, this is now my makeup now, I have to abuse someone else. When he is abused, for example, sexually or something. So what he will say is that because I was abused, therefore now I have got that I have to abuse someone else. So what he is trying to say exactly, that I am free of the guilt. The guilt is on the person who abused me. He abused me, so now that became part of my makeup, therefore I did this with that person. Instead of him assuming self-responsibility, individual responsibility shifts it. Or how he shifts that responsibility from himself, he says, well, that's my makeup, this is my nature. It's natural in me. A gay says that it's natural in me. So what is, when he's saying natural in me, in other words, he's saying that Allah Pak put that into me. Na'uzu billah. What he's saying? Allah Pak put that into me. Now that was the style of the mushriks in the past. Wallahu amarana biha. Idha fa'alu fahishatan, qalu wajadna alihi aba'ana. Wallahu amarana biha. This is what they're saying. Because who is natural? When you say natural, what do you mean? You mean Allah Ta'ala. So this is a continuation of the shirk. And the shirk started with these people, yeah, where they don't want to assume any type of individual responsibility. They want to come out as champions anywhere they go. So he's doing all these stupid things, right? Horrific things, horrible things he's doing. You don't want to even talk about it, but the way he started from here. So now, instead of them going in this line, that I am like that natural, it's my nature, therefore I have to go and do gay, na'uzubillah, right? He must go and trace and track down where this thing stemmed from, where it started off. This is the right way of thinking. The right way of thinking, where it started off from. I often say that, I quote this, you know, that alhamdulillah, I'm answering for about more than 30 years. And it is just in the last, say, 15 years or so, that you're hearing so many questions coming in about oral sex, etc. If this was natural, then why didn't it start from then? Now, this is unnatural. Because it is unnatural, it's only coming in now. And where it's coming from, where it's stemming from, it's stemming from this point where there is an abundance of literature, magazines, novels, YouTube, all these type of things coming up. So the individual is watching these things, he's reading these things. When he reads it, when he's talking about it, he's discussing it, he's listening to these things over the radio, magazines, etc. So what comes to his mind? That even if it is suri, let me go and taste it. It has to be something. You know, the way it's packaged. The way it's packaged, that I'm going to go and taste it myself. Otherwise it was dirt, it was filth, it was sewage. But then the way it is packaged, then you feel tempted to go and do the thing. So if it was natural, then why these people in the past weren't doing it? Why it's only started now? It started now because it was pushed onto people. Through all these sides, different sides that you have, it was pushed onto them. Now the man says, no, I'm deprived of some type of pleasure. You know, this is one pleasure that I need to go and explore. See where it starts off from. So this is what Islam is talking of. لا تزير وازيرة وزر أخرى. Islam is talking of individual responsibility. You be responsible. From the time you come of age now, 15, 16, now you answerable for what you're doing. Assume responsibility. What I'm doing, what I'm eating, what are my activities, what is my conduct like. You assume responsibilities, then you don't put yourself into problems and you don't have to shift guilt onto anybody else. But you don't assume responsibilities, no, because that person, therefore I'm doing this. So I'm free of guilt, the guilty person is that person. But does that make you a right person? It doesn't make you the right person. You go and assume, no, I must have messed it up. I read the wrong type of literature. I spoke to the wrong type of person. I'm associating and socializing with the wrong type of company. I'm going to the wrong places. So the effects of those things are rubbing onto me. Therefore, I'm conducting myself in this manner. So nonetheless, you see this Buzurganadin, word for word. Now you see how we have to interpret them, we have to analyze their lives. Muhammad Ilyas could have said very easily, you know, he's got a very, very refined temperament. We can't go to see such a person. Everything is a problem there. But how he's phrasing it? He says, I don't have the level of respect that is required, so I don't fit to be in his company. Maybe I'll cross the cliff because of me not being the right person. I don't have that level of discipline and respect. So he's putting on the guilt onto himself. In the house now, it's easy to say, oh, this brother of mine, he's a problem. Or the wife is a problem. So and so is a problem. But did you also assume some responsibility in the house? No, they're not doing right, they're not doing... But did you assume any responsibility? You must do namaz on time, zikr on time, talim on time. Now you see an explosion, then you want to get up. So the right thing is you assume some responsibility. I must do something also. If it's deen is mine, it's hers also. It is hers, then it's mine also. If she's doing something, I need to do something as well. So maybe I'm not doing my part. I'm not doing it. Therefore this thing has come up. Now every person thinks that I am responsible. Every person thinks I am also responsible. Then you'll find some good end coming up. But I think that he's responsible. He must do it. He thinks that it's my responsibility. I must do it. So will the work ever be done? Can't. So nonetheless, now in this sitting here, there's one student that is with them. And the student, when he hears this whole discussion carrying on, he goes straight to Thana Bhuvan and he relates this entire incident to Thana Bhuvan. Thamisa Brahmatai, this is what these two elders are speaking about you. So Thana Bhuvan Thamisa Brahmatai says, Afsos ke maine safar karna chhod diya. Agar maine safar karna chhoda nahi hota, main khud unki khidmat mein hazir ho jata. Now, he is an elder of all these people. So what he says, it's a pity that I have left traveling. I had a hernia problem towards the end of his life. He had a hernia problem. And traveling would cause him discomfort. So he couldn't travel because of that. He says, it's a pity that I have left traveling. Had I been traveling, I would have gone personally and met them. I would have taken their blessings. So, you know, he thinks them to be his superior. They think him to be their superior. See how they respect. What's the level of love? Anyway, this student overheard all this. He came and reported the whole thing this side again. He brought it back to her, Muhammad Ilyas Sahib and Muhammad Abdul Qadir Raipuri Sahib, Rahmatullah Ali. Right? You get some peace brokers, you know, in between. They're broking the peace this side. So he came this side. Now students are many of them are very adventurous. And see, what's going to happen? What's going to be the next step now, you see? They want to see. Alright, you get, for good reasons. He's doing it for the good reason. So, Muhammad Ilyas Sahib says to Muhammad Raipuri Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, now come what may, now I'm going to go. We're going to go and meet him. And then he says, chote bacche to bare ke kapre ke upar peshab bhi kar lete hai. Bare to bare hi hai. Says a small child, they may also urinate on through the clothing of the small. The small child may urinate onto the clothing of the elders. But the elders know that this is a child. This is expected of the child. Now see how he's counting himself. What a great person, what a great khidmat he's done. You know, millions of people's lives have been changed through Tabligh Jamaat, right? The credit goes to him. But how he considers them, you see, we're talking of that fana'iyat. See, that foundation must have been so great for him to be able to take so many millions. It didn't just come like that. That fana'iyat went so much, and he finished himself, no opinion of myself, no admiration. So then Allah Pak gave him the blessings like that. Allah Pak elevated him, exalted him in that manner. But for that, you need to break yourself. That fana'iyat has to come to that level. So what he says, ke bare to bare hi hai, chote to baro ke kapro ke par peshab kar lete hai. You see, the small children, they urinate on the elders' clothing. Elders know that these are children, they must behave like this. They will ignore it. They won't be concerned about it. So anyway, they went. Hazrat Thamisa Abraham, they already heard now. These people are coming in. So he says, you see, I will stand up for the respect. There was a lot of system in his place. The Khanqa, a lot of system. There was nothing done out of system, out of way. So he says, I will stand up and my standing will substitute all your people standing. You don't all have to stand up for him. This Buzuzi are coming, I will stand, and that will be substituting everybody standing. Because now everybody will stand is like a commotion. And everybody seated, I'll go, it's more respectable, more dignified, they'll feel more comfortable, more relaxed. But 100, 200 people stand up for one person, that first person perhaps will feel uncomfortable. I will do the standing, I will receive him at the entrance, inshallah that will represent all of you all. They come in, and Hazrat Thamisa Sahib Rahmatullahi insists, come and sit here. That was like how Buzurganadin, they'll have a place that's reserved for them. Come and sit here. So it's instruction now. And they also overawed with Hazrat Thamisa Sahib Rahmatullahi. So I said, they won't do anything that would displease him. So his instruction, on the other side, one end they have to need to respect him. On the other end, they don't want to cause any type of displeasure. Now they're forced to sit. Mullah is giving them so much of respect that you sit, as though he's treating them like he's equal or he's elder, that you come and sit at this place. So anyway, they got talking. Hazrat Thamisa Sahib Rahmatullahi Ali is explaining to Abdul Qadir Raipuri Sahib Rahmatullahi Ali, I came once to your Sheikh's place, Abdul Rahim Sahib Raipuri, I came there once, lekin phir jane ki himmat nahi hui. I came once, but after that I didn't have the himmat to come for the second time. So Abdul Qadir Sahib Rahmatullahi says, kya baat pesh aayi کہ آپ کو ہمت نہیں رہی باقی. کہ what happened after the first visit you didn't have the himmat to go for the second time. He says that when I went for the first time, that Mona overdid it was showing ikram and respect to me. I went there at the time when Mona Gangohi Sahib Rahmatullah passed away. So because he was our elder, he was our elder. Now after he's gone, then I thought, now who's the second greater after him? So I thought it was Mona Abdul Rahim Sahib Rahmatullah, that was the second after him. So I went there to show my respect, to get from his blessings, etc. I went there. But in place of me respecting him, he began to respect me. So what happened? Mullah asked him, what happened really? He says, well, they fed us and did everything for us. And thereafter, they gave us our places to sleep. And I slept very well, alhamdulillah. But my eyes opened up around 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning. So I see someone walking. And I look carefully, I see it is Mullah Abdul Rahim Sahib Raipuri Rahmatullah Ali. Now this buzrug that I came to meet, he is then just around about 20 steps away from me. But what happened? So I said, see, this is a gaon. This is like a village area, farm, you see. And I'm walking around that nobody caused any disturbance to your sleep. Your sleep mustn't be disturbed. Now who is going to meet and what type of treatment one is getting? So I'm standing up that nobody must disturb your sleep. You are a great person and you need to work. And I thought now that the good that I could do is see and ensure that nobody disturbs your sleep. So this is a gaon, this is a small village, a farm area. People are not very, very conscious of what they do. A little bit disorderly people. So they may just disrupt your sleep. So I'm just walking around and so nobody disturbs your sleep. So he just said, Ab toh mera aana toh band ho gaya. Now I can't come here. I'm going to come here and this man is showing me so much of respect here. You know, he's turning the whole thing around. Then he says to him, but I came there, but I can't picture you. Muhammad is saying to Muhammad al-Qadir Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, that I can't picture you. He says, Hazrat, aapko yaad hoga, you may remember, like Adi Astin, you saw someone perhaps, ke Adi Astin ki sadri koi pehne hue hai, somebody is wearing a half-sleeved waistcoat, you know. You saw someone like that. He says, I remember seeing one Punjabi with a half-sleeved waistcoat, and he was serving the mehman, washing their hands, etc. Oh, he said, I was that same person. So Mawlana Taimur said, har ke khidmat kunat makhdoom shawad. Person that serves, then Allah Ta'ala makes others to serve him. Whoever serves his elders, then Allah makes it that his juniors begin to serve him. Anyway, this whole sitting was about ending, and they were about getting up for namaz or something. So Mawlana's aged already, Mawlana's having a little bit of difficulty in getting up. And Abdul Qadir Sahib was a person, very informal, very easy to get along with. So he saw that Mawlana was having some difficulty in getting up, so he gave him a hand, put his hand on his shoulder to help him, support him. So Abdul Qadir Sahib, when he gave him that support, Mawlana said to him, Aage ka bhi zara khyaal rakhna. That you supported me here. When I'm dead and gone, it is at that time that I require your duas. Do you see the mizaj, the temperament of these people? They're so great. The respect for each other, the humility they show, and then their dependence on their seniors. The seniors, how they look at their juniors. What respect, what love, what ikram they show. Now this is that fanaya that we talk of, you know. And we say that this is the real basis for this whole taraqqi. You want to progress, then this is that fanaya. But don't you see it displayed in their conduct, in their behavior? Al-Mawlana Badri Alam Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he's stationed in Medina Munawara from around
perhaps the early 50s, maybe 50s till until 65 when he passed away, for about 15 years, then he passed away there. And his residence was really very near the Haram Sharif. And people would come and see him, visit him, take his du'as, etc. So the majlis would take place around after Asr. One person came and he sat right where he found a place, right at the end. But the Alam Sahib saw him for a moment and he called him in front. When he called him in front and he sat next to him, came a respectable place, and he says, "Shayad aapko Admiral Abdul Qadir Sahib, Rai Puri Sahib, Rahmatullah ke saath taluk hai. Perhaps you have got some taluk and relationship with Admiral Abdul Qadir Sahib, Rahmatullah alayhi." Said, "Yes." Said, "Is darje ki tawazu bas inhi ke logo mein paai jaati hai. This level of humility, you'll only find it amongst them. So humble of themselves, they don't think anything. You've got to find a place where a great alim, great reputable person, you know, a person of your reputation would have come right in front. But then you didn't think about yourself, nothing about your reputation. You found a place right by the shoes of the people, you just sat on there. So this type of humility is only seen in your type of people." And this person anyway came for that week that he was there. People normally come to Medina Munawwara for 8 days, 10 days, to read their 40 namazes, you know, to get that fazilat. So he stayed for that duration. And then one day, he wasn't there in the majlis. So the day that he came thereafter, so Mawlana Abdul Qadir Sahib, when Badr Alam Sahib saw him, says, "Bhai, but yesterday you didn't come?" He says, "No, Hazrat, I'm leaving tomorrow. So I thought, let me just get my khajur, everything right. Because we buy our Medina khajur from Medina Munawwara. Let me take it as tabarruk." So Mawlana Badr Alam Sahib rahmatullah says to him, "Kaash main jawan hota, mere andar taqat hoti. Had I only been, it's a pity I'm not young, I'm old, I'm disabled. And I'm bedridden and I'm old. And had I only been young, then I would have taken you to the bazaar where khajur is sold. And I would have told you, select this khajur, select this khajur, select this khajur." And someone may have just eaten. That khajur of Medina Munawwara, and he may have just complimented that this is the khajur of Medina Munawwara. Maybe because of his compliments of the town of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I will be forgiven. You see the level of fana'iyat, the level of humility, the level of respect. Every word of this is showing respect, humility, greatness. And this is what I say, this is the missing ingredient in our lives. We read a lot, right? Maybe what we read, our great-grandfathers also didn't read so much, right? You know, it's such an explosion of information. Perhaps they have also not read so much. But can we be anywhere near to our great-grandfathers in respect to respect and adab? Respect, muhabbat, just for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, no material reasons, just for the sake of Allah Ta'ala to show the respect, to show that ihtiram and consideration. Do we have that? Forget the rest, even with our parents, do we have that respect? This is something really that it pushes up every deed of yours, respect and muhabbat. You know, any good deed you want it to be pushed up. Just add these two ingredients, respect and muhabbat. And you see how you'll just elevate, you'll just move up all the time you'll just move up. So nonetheless, what we are talking about today, we start off with this this difference in how these Buzurgan Adeen conducted themselves. If you look at their whole lives, their lives was to complement each other, to cooperate with each other in leading each other to Jannat. That was the whole essence of their life. That I can cooperate with him, he can cooperate with me, and then we can be an assistance and a cooperation towards Jannat. Because for you to be motivated, you need some type of an environment. Like you go to the Haram Sharif, it's natural for you to perform namaz, isn't it? You'll feel like the odd one out not performing namaz. So what you understand,
that you need a little bit of a mahol, you need an environment. Ramadan time comes, it's natural for you to keep roza. You'll be the odd one out. You feel very miserable if you're not fasting. Will you feel comfortable in the month of Ramadan, you're not fasting? You feel extremely miserable. Why you feel miserable? Because you're going against the current. You feel extremely miserable. So, you need the type of environment to be able to continue. And you'll only be able to continue if you motivate. You encourage him, he encourages you. You slipping, he's getting you up. You slipping, he's getting you up. Everybody's going until, by the grace of Allah Ta'ala, we reach Jannat. But don't we need that encouragement? We need that encouragement. So this was the cornerstone in their lives. That we don't want to slip in this, because I'm going to slip, he'll leave me. And he will slip, I will leave him. What's going to happen? We'll keep slipping then. But if I'm slipping, he's getting me up. And he's slipping, I'm getting him up. So we're all threading the street, the same path. Now this whole path is for the same reasons. Watawa sobi sabri, watawa sobi haq. Watawa sobi haq, watawa sobi sabri. Just encourage. Encourage. So you've got a ready-made environment, and the environment is thereafter leading you to the real, real goal, right? You come into your home, there's an encouraging environment. There's a motivating environment. You are leading them, they are leading you. You are encouraging them, they are encouraging you. Right? Where they're slipping, you're getting them up. Where you are slipping, they're getting up. But you're moving, you're constant, you're consistent. Right? Now what's happening is that there is a motivation. But motivational speakers only on business. Only business, business, business. Is there any other motivation? Is there anything that we can, anything else that we can live for? If it's a material that we are just motivating each other, then that thing will, at some time it will be, get depleted. That pleasure, that enjoyment will get depleted. Because it's material, when it's material, it must get depleted. So look for a higher level of pleasure. That higher level of pleasure is Jannat, is Akhirat, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the higher level. That is the level that we're supposed to be exploring and moving towards. Because there's no end to that. Yeah, there is an end to it. There is no end. World, the material isn't an end to it. It's just this universe. Can you go beyond this universe? Can you go beyond? Can't go beyond. Too much for you. So it's limited. It's got its limitation. But there is beyond. Your Jannat is 8 times this universe, imagine. Your Jannat is 8 times this or 10 times this universe. Smallest Jannat. Then you find this Buzurgan Adin, Awliya Ikram, that they motivated each other in different styles, different methods. Their approaches were different. Someone motivated collectively and someone motivated individually. But the cornerstone, the common factor was motivation. But just the styles were different. Someone did it individually, someone did it collectively, someone used one approach, someone used another approach. But what was the bottom line? The bottom line was to take everybody, to bring everybody to the Sirat-e-Mustaqim. To bring everybody to the path of Jannat. They must have a friendly ride through this journey of earth until Jannat. The journey from this point, starting up from this world, ending up in Jannat, it must be a friendly, very enjoyable journey. That was the whole idea. That whole idea was that the journey must be enjoyable. At every point you're finding it comfortable. So you'll see one buzruk is using one style. Right? And another buzruk is using another style. But then it's not for us to criticize them. Because we don't know why they're doing it and what they're doing. You see in the Tabligh Jamaat, right? Right? They normally quote the verses, كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ تُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ, right? They enjoin the good and forbid the evil. But you'll find in Tabligh Jamaat that they only speak about 6 points. Do you see anything about forbidding evil? If you're speaking about don't take wine, don't take interest, they don't tell that, right? Right. So they're using one approach. Why did they use that approach? They used that approach because they saw the capacity of the Muslims. That the Muslim doesn't have that capacity to digest so much. So they spoke on Iman, Iman, Iman. Eventually, what they did, they built capacity. When they built capacity, the man left out the wrong himself. He was doing the wrong, so much of wrong he was doing, he began to decrease. Though slowly but surely, he left that wrong out. So now, we are just observing the whole scene, and we said, oh, they don't speak about this thing here. They are wrong. you are wrong. They are using an approach, and you saw, you know, the evidence of the goodness of the work is that so many people's lives have been changed. When they were nowhere towards deen, now they came so much onto deen. So many haram they have left. Right? But what was the catalyst? This was a catalyst. It brought them up, right? The same you will find in the Khanqah as well. Al-Mu'tami Sahib Rahmatullah is traveling by train, right? So there is a judge. In those days, I'm talking about 100 some odd years ago, the highest that an Indian could go up in the rule of the English, because India was being ruled by English, right? The highest an Indian could go up to the point of a judge. So Mullah has got a judge in his compartment traveling together by train. Long journey, 8-10 hours journey. You know, when you're traveling by train, you've got a small platform, you've got a big platform. A small platform, perhaps the train will stop over for 3-4 minutes, and a big, major platform, it will stop up perhaps for half an hour, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. Now it's a big platform, and the Saathis, they all agreed that we'll jump off, we'll perform our namaz and get again onto the train. It'll be easier to read our namaz comfortably outside the train. So one person suggests to Maulana, see this judge, he's speaking to you with so much of respect and so much of care. He's not coming in the namaz. Why don't you just call him? Father tells him, you see, namaz is faraz. Doesn't he know about it? He knows about it. So I don't need to tell him. What he knows already, I don't need to tell him. So, but Hazrat, if you tell him, you know, he will listen. So Hazrat tried to explain Khadasab. Khadasab was a little bit more free with Hazrat. He says, you know, aapko itni hamdardi ho, you've got so much of feeling, you go explain him yourself. So Hazrat, aapke maujoodgi mein main kis tarah se inko samjha sakta ho? Whilst you are around, how can I say that? You don't want to do it, I'm not going to do it also. Hazrat left the person, he came back onto the train, namaz is over, sat down. As I sat down, Mullah is talking to him with the same level of love. The communication, the love, the respect, the regards, like how in the train you eat some banana or fruit or something, you offer him. So in the same level of respect, the respect has not gone, has not depreciated. As though Mullah didn't take it personally that he didn't perform his namaz. Anyway, all this thing ended. Some 5 years later, this Khadasab met up with the same person. Now he's got a full beard, kurta, everything like a buzrug now. You can't even make him out. So he's asking Khadasab, do you recognize me? He said, no, I don't recognize. You know, we were traveling together and that was Maghrib time and you all jumped off to perform your namaz. I, like a kebab, I just remained there. I didn't even have the heart to go and join you people. You remember that incident? Yeah. So from that day till today, I haven't missed my tahajjud namaz also. From that day till today, I haven't missed out my tahajjud namaz. Because what impacted on me was, Mullah didn't even shout me, he didn't reprimand me, he didn't reproach me, he didn't even, in a sly, subtle manner, try and come across the point. And he treated me with that same level of respect. Really, I was overawed with his character. I was overawed. Now, at the first instance, if you saw Mullah not inviting to namaz, can you say khiyanat kar rahe, that you are deceiving, you are misleading people, that he was supposed to call him towards faraz and you didn't call him towards the faraz, so you fail in your duty, you are a Mawlana, you know about the faraz of namaz and you didn't call him, could you speak against Mawlana? Mawlana knew what he was doing. He knew the man's capacity. And when he knew the man's capacity, he sized him up. He said, alright, this person here requires this type of an approach, this person requires that type of an approach. So you size the person, you tell him accordingly. The idea is not to spite the person. The idea is not to belittle him. The idea is not to smash him down. The idea is to keep him on the path of Jannat. But what is the approach that is to be used? See, the Tabligh Jamaat, now you can't even smash them down. They didn't speak about interest. They didn't speak about wine. Now you can't say they're not doing their duty. You understand the position. That this person here can't, his capacity is such, his endurance is such that he won't manage it. We'll talk of too many things, he can't manage it. Let me start off. We'll talk of Iman Yaqeen. He'll get on, he'll understand afterwards. He'll build capacity. He'll say, no, I can't do this. When Iman Yaqeen is so important, Qiyamah, Jannah, Jahannam is so important, I don't want to damage my Qiyamah. I don't want to damage my hereafter. I don't want to damage my Qabr. So I need to do some things now. So they built up that consciousness, they built up that awareness. When they built up that awareness, the man left out the wrong, but he left it out of his own. So, the problem lies, again, I say it, you know, is with the sidekicks, Hashia and Nasheen. People that are commenting from the side, they don't know the gravity of the problem. They can't understand this thing here. How it works, how a man's psychology works, how he thinks, how he reasons. The idea is to get him on to the path of Jannah, not to show a point, not to smash him down, not to humiliate him, not to disgrace him, but to show him to the path of Jannah. That he comes on, and he comes on willfully. He comes on, he doesn't come on grudgingly. He comes in with a cheer. He comes in with muhabbat. He comes in with gratitude. So now, this requires a lot of thought. And therefore, the Tabligh Jamaat will say, "Bhai, if you don't have that level of understanding, then you only talk about 6 points. Don't talk about anything else. Don't talk about the 7 point. You just even within 6 points, you'll be safe. Now, if you want to cross on to the 7 point, tell about something else, though your intention may be right, but the audience don't have that capacity to accept, then you'll cause problems for people. See? You see the understanding? So therefore, their work is operational, functional throughout the globe. Because they understood now, because everybody is not in the position of accepting straight away. Look at our own lives, right? Some 30 years ago, 30, 40 years ago, right? We were different at a different level. Somebody wearing a jeans, somebody wearing a t-shirt. I'm sure if someone got your photo also, you don't want to display the thing. Now the Tabligh Jamaat came, some buzurg came, someone gave a talk or something. And now the whole condition has been reversed. Hasn't it changed? It changed, but it took time for you to come there. From where you were, from a designer beard, to where you are now. This is a buzurg now. Then you just look at a picture, old picture. This is a man. But from where to where they got the person. But it took time to get you up to that point. And they understand, they've got the reasoning, that Allah Pak opened their minds by take this person and take him gracefully, take him gradually. Don't take him with a rush. Don't push the person. Don't be aggressive. You lose the man, you lose him for life. He'll say in himself, okay, who's this person, come and tell me. He'll become more stubborn in his ways, stupidly, wrongfully, he'll become more stubborn in his ways. The idea is not to get him stubborn. The idea is to get him right. But how to work with the person. How to understand the person. The Haji Sahib Rahmatullahi, there are so many insults that we don't know which one to start off with. But just to show you this point, that how this Buzurgana didn't work. One person came up to him and said, "Haji Sahib, I'm prepared to take bayat at your hands. But don't ask me to perform namaz. See now the type of conditions they are attaching." You know, azan now. Some other time, inshallah.